In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. With this very varied weather we're getting here, like you, I was away for, many of you were away for half term, and we had a heat wave, and then this last week, lots of rain. It was so cold in here this morning, I had to put a pullover on, but I noticed that the heating's come on, so thank you for those who look after the heating. Bless you. I want to talk about grace today. Many people think that all religions are the same, that there's no difference between the world religions, and it's one homogenous group that say all the same things. But let me tell you this, they say very different things. They say very different things about the nature of our world. And belief systems are very different. And there is one particular unique thing about Christianity, and that is its belief in the idea of grace. The idea of grace. So can you get your hand out? We're going to go through it today. Hopefully everybody's got one. If you haven't got one, put your hand up, because this is so important. It's called, What is So Amazing About Grace? Everybody got one? Good. I'm going to go through it. By the way, the story in the Gospel is particularly about grace. Notice, first of all, here is Matthew, an outsider and a tax collector. Tax collectors were hated because they collaborated with the Roman invaders. They were despised. Jesus calls Matthew to follow him, an act of grace. Notice that he's eating with sinners, people of ill repute. He likes parties, does our Lord. The very act of eating is a symbol of grace and a symbol of acceptance. He sits with them equally as fellowship with people who are considered to be sinners. It's a wonderful visual aid of grace. Here we go. The Christian teaching of grace is remarkable because it turns many natural human assumptions upside down. Please do follow this. First, grace is unearned. Most areas of life operate on performance. Work earns wages. Study earns qualifications. Training earns fitness, hopefully. Achievement earns recognition. Now, here we go. Christianity teaches that a relationship with God cannot be earned in the same way. This is foundational. God's acceptance is offered as a gift rather than a reward. You can't earn it. And so here is the Apostle Paul, the great apostle of grace. He says, salvation is by grace and not by human works. This means that no one can boast that they have earned God's favor. Foundational to what Christianity is, a gift. Now, second, grace meets us at our worst. In Matthew 9, which we've just read, Jesus calls Matthew while he is still a tax collector, not after he has cleaned up his life. The message is this. The message is not change first, then come to God, but rather come to God and he will begin to change you. That is a profound difference. Now, grace, third, creates humility, or it should. Why? If God's love is a gift, then no Christian can look down on others. The ground level at the cross is equal. The moral person, the criminal, the wealthy, the poor, the religious, and the irreligious all come to God in the same way through grace. And what is wonderful here, on a Sunday morning when we come to receive the sacrament, we all equally kneel together as equals. And if there's a wonderful model of how our society should be, it's like here, old, young, a whole vast different variety of cultures, people with wealth and some with less wealth, but we all gather together. The ground level at the foot of the cross is equal. The moral person, the criminal, the wealthy, the poor, the religious, and the irreligious all come to God in the same way through grace. Fourth, grace offers real hope. This is really important. Really, really important. Many people carry guilt, regret, or shame over things that they cannot undo. Maybe there are things today that you deeply regret, things left unsaid, things that you didn't manage to do, things that have happened in your life that you deeply feel guilty about. But the wonderful thing is that grace offers you hope. Christian grace says that forgiveness is possible because of what Jesus has done, not because of our ability to erase the past. This gives hope to people who feel that they have failed beyond despair. I was listening to a program on Friday about a pastor who went to see a man on death row. He'd killed 12 people. He was going on to death row. He was going to be killed for the wrongdoing that he's done. And yet, despite that, he'd found Jesus. He'd found forgiveness. And therefore, even in his dire situation, he still had hope. Christian grace says that forgiveness is possible because of what Jesus has done, not because of our ability to erase the past. Fifth, grace motivates love rather than fear. In many belief systems, this is very important, people can feel trapped in a cycle of trying to prove themselves worthy. True of many of the world's religions. In many belief systems, people can feel trapped in a cycle of trying to prove themselves worthy. But Christian grace teaches that God's love comes to us first. Obedience and good works are meant to be a response to that love, not an attempt to earn it. So why do Christians find grace amazing? Many Christians would say that grace is amazing because it reveals God who is as he really is. He knows us completely. He sees our faults clearly. He loves us anyway. He invites us into a relationship with him. He changes us from the inside out. This is why, as we've just sung earlier, the famous hymn, Amazing Grace, has resonated with millions of people. Its author, a slave trader, believes that God's grace had transformed him despite a deeply troubled past. In its simple form, Christian grace can be expressed like this. Grace is receiving from God what we could never earn because of his love rather than our merit. This is the heart of the gospel. Some quotes to finish. Dallas Willard, grace is not opposed to effort, it is opposed to earning. D.L. Moody, the law tells me how crooked I am. Grace comes along and straightens me out. Wonderful from Philip Yancey, grace means there is nothing we can do to make God love us more, and nothing we can do to make him love us less. C.S. Lewis, the Christian does not think that God will love us because we are good, but that God will make us good because he loves us. And there's a wonderful acronym towards the end here, a powerful summary. Perhaps one of the most memorable definitions of grace is an acronym going like this. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Now, I want you to think today, what is the worst thing that you've ever done? That thing maybe that you feel embarrassed about, perhaps reluctant to share with anybody. I would never share that with people. Well, there's a wonderful, wonderful verse that Paul has in 2 Corinthians, and he says, "My grace is sufficient for you." So whatever it is today, God's grace is sufficient for you. Whatever you've done, whatever your past, whatever you've been involved in, Paul says God's grace is sufficient for you, and you can find forgiveness. This is the remarkable, wonderful story of grace. So together, as sinners, we sit and eat with Christ at his table, which we will do later. It caused a scandal at his time, because as he sat with them, he forgave them. A ministry of grace. So take this with you and read it. Recognize today that God's grace is sufficient for you, whatever you've done. That's why, once we've repented, all of us can come and receive the Holy Sacrament. Because his grace reaches you. His grace reaches Keith and John and Lyndon. His grace is big enough for all of us. This is the remarkable thing about the Christian story. It's not what you do. It's what Christ has done that makes all the difference. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, meet us here whilst we pray. Hear our words and read our hearts. Look inside our minds and know us, we pray. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Someone is crying out of love for a newborn baby. That awe and wonder that new life brings, perhaps accompanied by frightening, unknown times. Crying because they have lost someone dear to them, knowing that life will never quite be the same, an absence that was once filled, a question left unanswered, a chair left empty. Crying because they are in pain and need your healing touch. Physical and mental pain, we ask you now to restore all pain and to heal all wounds. Crying because they are in conflict, their ideas at odds with others, their beliefs challenged or unaccepted, their opinions gone unheard. Lord, our community is stretched from one extreme to another. We sometimes feel that we are led by loud voices that seem to dictate how we should behave, how we should think, what we should say or do. We need to have the ability to reason, to discuss, to disagree, or to compromise. Let us have the grace to find that again. We pray for those who speak out against power, who are perhaps shunned or abused or marginalised. Lord, help the truth to be heard and help us to discern that from any lies. Lord, we need to restore the desire to accept our differences, to love our neighbours and to not hold judgment. Lord, make us compassionate, understanding, and humble. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, someone is crying because they can't be themselves. Separated, rejected, and alone, because voices that have bigger powers have decided they can't belong. We pray for understanding about each other, about each of our needs, our desires to love in our own way, the freedom to express ourselves without judgment. For so many people around the world, they simply cannot be themselves. We pray for those who are at risk of harm, arrest, expulsion from family, or even death because of what they believe or how they feel. Teach us how to love. Make us here at St. Andrew's a welcoming church, an open space where all can be who you made them to be, where love is the victor and hatred has no place. Lord, dry the tears of all those who weep, comfort and guide all who hurt, and wrap them in your love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, we pray for those who hold power and authority in our places that we live and in the world. Their roles holding such responsibility and weight, largely elected to be there and who speak on behalf of others. We pray that they may use the power that they have to listen and to hear and not to abuse or exploit. Lord, you have gifted us with the ability to produce such wonders of technology that what people say or don't say, what they do or don't do, is broadcast with immediacy and along with it, opinion. May we choose wisely what we consume, what we believe, and how we react. It cannot be denied that we live in a divided and tense society. Guide us in our love for all, not in judgment, and provide us with the words to calm and ease division. Lord, we pray that you hold our communities together, that your Holy Spirit will work within each and every one of us, that we are bound by your love and grace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, we bring to you all those in Starlink. We pray for those who have recently died, not forgetting and including Ralph Bedford and Ingrid Richland. We pray for their families and their friends at this time of sadness. We also remember with thanksgiving the anniversaries of Olive Butler, John Broach, Leslie North, and Marion Perry. May they all rest in peace. We pray for requests for healing and other needs for Sue Broach, Elizabeth Bellow, Daryl Campbell, Malcolm George, Sheila Gillard, Joyce Nicolay, Pam Storey, Martin Vowles, Gary Williams, and Angela Zadurian. May they feel your healing touch. Lord, we pray at this time for lives that have been cut short, some very public, like those in the news this week, others known to us here. We pray for Jamal Ringrose, aged just 15, for Henry Novak, aged just 18. We pray for all of those who find themselves caught up in a world that they did not choose. For those who are drawn to violence, and for those who find on the wrong side of it. For all of those, whether victim or perpetrator, they have all lost so much. Every family, every person affected, we pray for them now. And Lord, we pray that violence may at some point be eradicated from our streets, that love will endure, and that forgiveness and grace will be our drive. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all of those who are known to us, who need your loving arm around their shoulders, your strength to guide them, your reassurance to carry on. Hold each and every one of us in the palms of your hands. Guide us in our journeys this week and strengthen us in our resolve to walk in your ways. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers
for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.